B.C. We know that just years later, just perhaps even months later, some suggest that he preached these in the year 722, which was the year that Assyria came storming down from the north and just literally destroyed the whole northern nation, took all of the peoples and scattered them everywhere and integrated populations from other places. Assyria was brutal when it came to the treatment of captured people. They were indentured, and they were not indentured, they were put into slavery immediately. They were forced to change language. They were forced to change religion. They were forced to change customs. They were integrated with other peoples from all over the place, and they were scattered in the nations that Assyria had conquered. Are you looking at something right now? Good. I'm glad you're not looking at a map. Not yet. I'll tell you. Do you recognize some of these names? There is a bomb in Gilead. That's a beautiful chorus we sing. There is a bomb in Gilead. Know that song? These, in our study of Joshua on Tuesday mornings, we just recently went over the separation and the disbursement of the lands under Joshua. If you could put that first slide up there for me. I don't know if you can see this. I hope you can. How well you can see it. It is there, right? Can you see it? It's right here. Can you see it? Oh, there you go. You can see it, but it's out of focus. Or either that or you're going blind. But you can see the original tribes of Israel and how when they came into the promised land, they were given these different regions. Well, in this area, right about, well, let's see, I can probably, whoa, not enough room up here to walk. Have I got a pointer? No. Anyway, you can see where the pink is. From the north of the pink, excuse me, yours is brown. North of the brown, we see Judah, the original Judah, the tribe of Judah, and then Reuben to the west, or to the, north to east. And then above that are all the tribes of Benjamin, Dan, Ephraim. You see Ephraim mentioned there? There's Manasseh. And then there's some cities. There's the cities. Oh, man, you got a pointer and everything, buddy. How come I don't have a pointer, buddy? I want a pointer. I need a long pole so I can get up like this and show you. But these nations are these tribes were the original tribes under Joshua. And then during the David-Solomon dynasty, about 1900 to 1000 B.C., during the David-Solomon dynasty, they came to the greatest power. And Israel literally controlled the whole Fertile Crescent, all the lands from Egypt all the way around to Persia at that time, modern-day Iran. And it controlled all these lands, and David was king over all, and he wanted to build a temple. You remember this? And he tried to build a temple, but he couldn't because of his sins. And so he left that task to his son Solomon. And then under Solomon, he built the temple, but then he also brought a tremendous amount of sin and personal sin into the relationship between him and the Lord. And as a result, when he died, the nations didn't pass naturally to his son. They passed to his son, and his chief general decided he wasn't content following the son. And so he split the nation and took all these nations, Benjamin, Dan, and everything north of it, and he controlled those in the north. And so in our text today, we hear words like Ephraim. We hear words like Beths, the different Beths that are mentioned, and the Gilead. These are not only the cities in the north that he's referring to, but they were also the places where the priesthood was dispersed under Joshua. You know that the Levites, they didn't have any lands. You don't see anything up there that says Levi, do you? Because they didn't have a land, because God was their inheritance, and they were to minister to the people in these different places. And so as he put the priests and gave them properties, and later became what they called cities, which is nothing like we know today as a city, these priests were set up in all the different regions all throughout the land under all these families so that every family didn't have to go to a central temple location. Of course, that didn't happen till David. And so they operated under a priesthood that took sacrifices and so forth in each of these different regions. They also, some of these were the refuge cities. So if a person killed somebody by accident, the law said if you kill somebody, you die. Well, they'd run to these priest cities or these refuge cities, and they'd be safe. And these are dispersed all throughout the land, both before the split in the south and also in the north. And so when he mentions these names, these are the names of these northern cities some of them priest cities or refuge cities, as he brings this indictment against the priests. We're going to see that specifically as he brings one very serious charge against the priests in kind of a very direct way as we look through this. So just so that you don't say, oh man, where's that, where's that, what's that, what's that? I mean, you may still be saying that, but this is the kind of a general kind of key for you to see who he's talking to at least. And then the indictments he brings against them and why he would do this. So you can see why he would have his indictment against the nation of Israel. Let's put that second screen up there so you can see what happened under the division after Solomon. You see that division? Now, I do have the same one you do. We see the pink is Judah, Israel, with the northern tribes, now being called Israel as a whole nation. Judah is a whole nation in the south. You can see their enemies. You see down to the left in the green, there's Assyria to the north, there's a Phoenicia. All of these lands, Israel, it really turned for them. Because one by one by one, all these lands conquered Israel. And they became their enemies over the time frame. So when he speaks about Assyria, we know that's the nation to the north that he's addressing, and the king of Assyria. This was also a time of tremendous prosperity for Israel. This wasn't a degraded time. They weren't, you know, poor. They had a tremendous amount of strength and a tremendous amount of wealth. The same thing was true in Judah. They had the strength, but they didn't have the moral strength. They had the physical strength. They had been under dynasties. They had had relationships with the Assyrians, the Phoenicians, and others. So they had a strong military presence, and they built castles and were building just a paradise all over the Assyria. Great citadels were being built everywhere, but they were rotten to the core when it came to their spiritual life. And Hosea came into this context. Can you imagine? You want to really get to a sinner? Think of the most wealthy person you've ever heard of. Got a name that you've ever heard of that's living today? He's on this earth right now. And so what we decide to do is you yourself, you're going to get up, take a plane to where he is. You're going to walk into his hotel or his casino or his club or his whatever he owns. And you're going to tell him, you're a sinner, man. You're worshiping all these other things. That's you. That's what you're doing. And God wants you to turn away from all the things you're doing back to him and give him glory with all your wealth and all your fame. You've been in the presence of a very wealthy person. It can be kind of intimidating, can't it? In fact, a friend of mine who is an accountant said he worked for a very large company. So as a result, he worked with a lot of very wealthy persons and accounts. He said, all you got to do is give a complete idiot about $1 million, and everybody thinks he's brilliant. This is the context that Hosea is working in. He's working in the context of people who have become very accustomed to being catered to because of their wealth, because of their position, because of their power. And here comes this little guy, this little, who knows who you are, probably young, coming into this context to tell them how they're supposed to live. The scope of it's pretty incredible. The priests, the people, the royal family.